All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our evening service tonight. And you all must have known that I was preaching tonight. That's why this is all lengthy. But it's all right. I'm not sick, guys. It's okay. If after our prayer, if you'd like to move to the middle, it'll feel like I'm not alone on an island. And so, but we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Hey, Paul, how are you? He's in spitting range. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. It's always an honor to speak to you, God's word, and I pray it'll be a blessing tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, very well-used passage of Scripture. Verse 21, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. I'm sure many of you love this passage, amen. But I want you to see the next verse here. And this is where I want to hone in tonight. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Tonight I want to title this message as a question. How's your marriage? How's your marriage? Now, before you get up and leave while I pray, hear me out, okay? But the title of this message is, how's your marriage? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's true. It's unique in many ways. Lord, you wrote it. All scripture is given by inspiration. You breathed it out, Lord. Even this passage of scripture, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate our hearts and minds tonight and see the scripture tonight and how it relates to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through me. And only words that you'd have me speak tonight, I pray that you would use those words. Lord, help me to forget anything, Lord, that you wouldn't have me speak tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd just fill this place. And please, Lord, do speak to us tonight. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to just look at that last verse that we read here. I've always sort of looked at this verse and thought, what is he talking about? It says here, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Most of that passage we read are talking about marriage and husband and the wife and sort of some duties, responsibilities and things in that. But it's funny, and it's not funny, it's interesting that this verse comes here towards the end of it. He says, I'm not finished. You're all loving this as I'm writing this down, but I want you to notice all these things that I've just said. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What does this mean? This is a great mystery. The mystery Paul is talking about is what he has just explained concerning marriage. If you look at verse 31, it says this, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And then he says the verse, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul, in essence, is saying this, there's a deeper meaning behind what God established in marriage. You know, marriage wasn't merely just for companionship. God didn't institute marriage just because he saw Adam, or, you know, he created Eve, but maybe perhaps, well, look, he needs a companion. And that's not merely what marriage was established for. It wasn't just for having children or human relationship. God designed marriage to picture Christ and his church. Okay, get that. It was designed to picture Christ and his church. I want you to see some parallels here tonight. I want you to look at verse 25 here in chapter 5. Look at verse 25. It says here, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I want you to see the parallel between a husband and Christ himself. Christ loved and sacrificed himself for his church. And we all know the story of what Christ had to do and gave himself and came to earth and lived a perfect life and sacrificed his life for the church, okay? Us, those who are saved. And of course, when you get saved, you become part of the church. And that's a parallel picture of Christ, the husband. Now look with me in verse 24. It says here, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. There's a parallel here between the wife and the church. The wife is a picture of the church. And here it says here that the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And the church is to submit to and follow Christ. Here's another parallel. Next one here in verse 30. Have a look at this. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Paul then connects this back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Do you all remember that verse? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And he refers back to that. And he connects the husband and wife becoming one flesh. Okay? And then he correlates that with the church and Christ. Paul isn't just saying this. Paul isn't just saying marriage is similar to Christ and the church. He's saying that the mystery of marriage ultimately points to Christ and his church. You say, man, marriage is just a good thing, isn't it? And I love marriage, don't get me wrong. I enjoy marriage. I love who I married and I love spending life with her. I love the concept of marriage, okay? And all the men said, all right, two of you won't be in trouble tonight. But I love marriage. I love the institution. But marriage isn't just about companionship. Marriage just isn't about procreating. Marriage isn't just about having a relationship with another human being. It was meant to picture Christ and his church. God institutes marriage in Genesis before Christ came, but Paul here in Ephesians reveals that there was a deeper purpose behind it that had previously been hidden. That's what a mystery is. A mystery is something that is hidden, I didn't know. And now here, Paul is revealing, hey, guess what marriage is all about right here? It's telling you the reason. And it was the picture of our relationship with Christ. Paul says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is what he's essentially saying. You listening? This is what he's saying. When I've been talking about the husband and wife becoming one flesh, OK,
Okay, we all know the verse. We've all been in enough weddings. We've all slept through enough weddings to hear this at a Christian wedding. Okay, he's not when we've been talking about that, the husband and wife becoming one flesh, he's ultimately pointing you, Christians, us, the church, to something greater, the relationship between Christ and his church. That's why in verse 33, he immediately brings it back to practical marriage and goes, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." You know, we look at this passage and think, man, there's a lot of good stuff here, especially for husbands, amen. Oh, yeah, preach on. And some of you kind of, you know, you held on to the pew and was like, oh, he's going to preach. Sorry, that's not what I'm going to preach about tonight. But this was such a great picture, and all these examples and all these things and duties was all to picture what Christ and his church meant with it. You know what I'm saying? That's what they were meant for. You know what I'm saying. All right. So in Ephesians 5:32, is the theological foundation underneath Paul's teaching on marriage. Christian marriage is intended to be a picture of Christ's relationship with his church. Have you ever wondered that? God uses so many pictures. God, the Heavenly Father, uses pictures of an earthly father to their earthly son, right? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your sons, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good gifts unto them that ask, right? And he uses that, and he uses that as a picture of and parallels the human father with the Heavenly Father and the earthly son with us. And here he is correlating marriage, the marriage between a husband and a wife, and that relationship between a husband and a wife with our relationship as the church to Christ. What does the Bible say the church is? We are the what of Christ? We are the bride of Christ. So when we think of our relationship, and I know a lot of husbands and wives can attest, you could probably relate with this a little bit more, but when you think of your relationship with your spouse, that's how our relationship ought to be with Christ as a Christian, as a church. Now, Christ pictures a perfect God, a perfect person, and he loves his church perfectly. And we can't use every single example of marriage to our relationship with Christ, right? It's like, oh, that makes sense because my wife's always nagging at me and that's just a picture, right? No, we can't use that because Christ is perfect, okay? What a godly husband or wife does in marriage parallels to what the church should do in relationship to Christ. So husbands, wives, think with me, with your spouse. Think about your relationship with your spouse. Think about the many things that parallel to what our relationship should be to Christ, okay? Here we talked about how a wife ought to submit to her husband. Hey, church, are we submitting ourselves to Christ and his will? When Christ asks us to do something or he would like us to do something, he desires for us to do something, how quick are we to submit and say, yes, Lord, I submit to, look, the buck stops with you. What you want, I'm going to do. Do we submit ourselves to Christ and his will? The next thing we talked about was Christ sacrificing for the church. Hey, do we sacrifice for Christ? Do we sacrifice our time? Do we sacrifice our things? What do we sacrifice for Christ? How is your marriage? I'm not talking about the marriage with your spouse. How is your marriage when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Okay, I'm going to step on some toes tonight. I want you to listen. I want you to go. We're going to go a little bit further. The next question I want to ask you, are you faithful to Christ? Are you faithful to Christ? You know, spouses desire to be faithful to one another, don't we?
right, spouses? We want to be faithful to one another. And the church should be faithful to Christ. You see, marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant of faithfulness. Did you know that the Bible describes the church as Christ's bride? We talked about that. 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Revelations 19:7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Hey, church, are we flirting around with the world? Are we flirting around with other gods, other idols, other things? Or are we faithful to Christ? I know if I were unfaithful to my wife, I'm sure she wouldn't be happy. And I'm sure if your spouse wasn't faithful to you, you wouldn't be happy either. And we ought to be faithful. But how are we faithful when it comes to Christ? Are we flirting with things we shouldn't be doing? Christ wants us to do certain things, and we're like, well, you know what? The world does this. You know what? The devil does this, and let's just dabble in it a little bit. How is our faithfulness when it comes to Christ? James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" I want to ask you tonight, how is your marriage? Are we faithful to Christ? The next question I want to ask is, do we defend Christ? Do we defend him? You know, spouses ought to defend one another, right? We ought to stand for them. We ought to defend them when someone is getting at them, I guess, or whatever. We ought to defend our spouse. And the church should stand for Christ in parallel. A husband shouldn't be ashamed of his wife, folks, husbands. A husband ought not to be ashamed of his wife, and a wife should not be ashamed of her husband. Likewise, Christ's people shouldn't be ashamed of him. How are we when we walk into this world? Are we ashamed of Christ? When your coworker asks you, "What do you do on Sundays?" "Oh, well, there's this social club that I go to. I meet with some people, with some family and friends." Or do we boldly say, "You know what, I go to church. And I believe in God, I believe in Christ, and I go there because I love him. Hey, can I talk to you about him?" Are we faithful to Christ when we go out there? Do we confess his name? Matthew 10:32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." If we truly love Christ, we shouldn't be ashamed of Christ. I know it's easier said than done, but when we get out there in the world and the pressure's on, are we easily, do we stand for Christ? Just as we stand for our spouse, and if my spouse is with me and I'm talking to someone, I immediately say, "Hey, this is my wife. This is my wife, Mindy." You ought not to be ashamed of that too, men. As you're talking to somebody, you may be talking to another lady, "Hey, this is my wife, Mindy. It's my wife, my loving wife." And you ought not to be ashamed of your spouse either. And we ought not to be ashamed of Christ. Do we defend Christ? How's your marriage? Next question I want to ask, do we want to please Christ? You know, as spouses, we want to please one another, right? We don't say, "Oh, honey, what do you like? Do you like it when I chew with my mouth open?" And when she says no, this is a bad example, isn't it? When she says no, do you stop doing those things because she desires you not to do those things? Or do we say, "Well, you know what? She doesn't like it, so I'm just going to keep going"? That's a terrible example. I'll give you another example. You know, your wife says, "You know what? I don't want you." That one was too... It was too surface. You know, if your wife says, or your husband says, "Look, I don't want you going out to that place. It's not a good place." Okay? What do we say? Knowing that our spouse doesn't want us to go to that place, what do we say? Are we quick to say, "You know what? Because you don't want me to go to that place, I'm not going to go to that place. I want to do your will. I want to please you." And just as I want to please my spouse, hey, church, we ought to want to do that same thing with Christ and whatever Christ, because we love him and we're espoused to him, we ought to want to just do what he wants us to do. And all right, let's keep going here. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says this, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." You know, do we ask, what am I allowed to do? Or do we ask, what would please my Savior? Do we say, oh, all right, what don't you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? Okay, look, since you're my boss, I'm just going to do what you tell me to do because you don't want me to do this. You know, it ought not to be that attitude. It ought to be, you know what? Because I love you. Because I'm a spouse to you. Because I have a relationship with you. I want to do what you want me to do. It's not a drudgery. It's not a chore. I just want to do it because I want to do what you want me to do because it pleases you. Folks, I want to ask you the question, how's your marriage? How's your marriage to Christ, not talking about your spouse? And here's the last question. Last question. This one hurts, but the question is, do we spend time with him? Do we spend time with him? I don't know about you, but I love spending time with my wife. Today, I got to run some errands with my wife, and I love just spending time with my wife. I love talking with her. I love eating with her. I love doing fun stuff with her. I love working together. Anything it is, I love doing it with my wife. I love spending time with my wife. Hey, spouses, just as you love spending time, and hopefully, you love spending time with your spouse. Do you love spending time with Christ? You know, just as spouses love to spend time together, the church should love spending time with Christ. A healthy marriage involves communion. It involves talking and listening and sharing life together. Christianity isn't merely just knowing about Christ. We got to have a fellowship with him. Revelation 3:20, you know the verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Paul says in Philippians 3:10, "that I may know him." Folks, tonight, how is your marriage when it comes to Christ? Do we come to church because we have to? Well, I gotta go to church. Do we pray because, well, it's a religious thing to do? The Bible says to pray, so I just pray. Do we do things? Do we serve Christ? Do we serve here in the church because we feel like it's just a religious thing to do? It's a thing to do. It's a thing that everybody else does, so I'm going to do it. No, folks, our Christianity is more than just doing and doing this and doing that. It's a relationship with Christ. Christ wants to know you. Just as your spouse, when she or he got married to you, they were wanting to do life with you. They were wanting to know your favorite color. They were wanting to know what makes you tick. They were wanting to know what your favorite food is. They were wanting to spend some time with you. They were wanting to talk to you. They were wanting to stay with you. They wanted to spend every time with you. That's what a spouse wants to do. And just as a spouse wants to do that, we ought to have that same attitude with Christ. But I want to ask you tonight, how is your marriage tonight? And we can go through the motions. We can come to church and we can sing the songs. Oh, how great though. How great. And then if you don't have something to swallow, you sing it right. How do we sing the songs? How do we live our life? Is it all just mechanical, or do we have a relationship with Christ just as a spouse wants to spend time with their significant other? We ought to want to spend time with Christ himself. Do you want to know Christ? Or was he just a ticket out of hell? Was he just a ticket out of into heaven? Oh, if I trust Christ, I'm going to go to heaven. Or do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you want to know more about him? Do you want to know him? Then when was the last time we spent time with him?
The last time you spent time, and I want you to think, if it's been days or weeks, could you get away with that with your own spouse? I know if I don't call my wife, if I'm away, if I don't call my wife that day, she's on to me. And I'm in big trouble. Every day I talk to my wife. How often do we talk to Christ? How often do we spend time? When was the last time you read his love letter? His love letter to you. He wrote something for us. Have we even read it once? I know, I remember when my wife, well, she wasn't my wife at the time, I looked at my letterbox, and we were at college when we were dating, and so we had this room, and it was just a, when you go to the post office and you see all the little P.O. boxes, right? And that's how it was at college. And every time I got a love letter, that was a good day for me. And I'd look at that love letter, and I'd see all the work that she put into it. She'd make it sparkle, there's glitter, and then it gets all over my clothes, and then I look like that guy in class. I see all the work and I see the penmanship, and then I open it up and I read the words. Oh, my handsome Gary. No, she's never chosen. She's never called me that. Thank you for the great time we had at dinner yesterday, and you are the best boyfriend. Well, no, we weren't. Probably wouldn't have been in the likes. There's stages, right? There's the like stage. We didn't go through all that. But I remember looking at the love letters, and I would cherish it. And I would read it. I'd read between the lines. What does she mean by this? I'd smell it because she'd spray that perfume on. Right? Are you smelling? Okay. I don't know what happened. But I would smell it, right? Derek's like, yep. Can I get a test? Can somebody testify here? Or am I the only weird one here? I don't know. I did the same. I would spray on my cologne. She knows what I smell. It's B.O. So anyway. But I remember just reading that love letter. It's like, oh. She thinks I'm drop dead gorgeous. She didn't have glasses back then, so no. And I want you to think spouses. Remember? Do you remember? I don't know how you guys did it. If it was just a little notepad and says, "Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe." I don't know how you guys did it. Even that, right? Some of you probably framed that, right? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that significant other and spouses, when your spouse was courting you, and I don't know if it was love at first sight. It wasn't love at first sight for her, okay, just letting you know. Or maybe it was. I want you to think about that and go back to that. And then when we think of Christ and we look at these words, Have we read the words here? Do we read about how much he loves us and how he sent himself to go on the cross and to die for us? Each morning, do we just have that, oh, I gotta read his word. I gotta see what he says here. What else does he have to say? I gotta read it. I don't know about you, but if your spouse wrote you a love letter this long, you'd be up all night, wouldn't you? I would be. And I'd be slobbering on it and everything. Then wake up and then just continue on. But I want you to think about it. When was the last time you read his love letter and this love letter to us meant something to you? When we serve him, does it become a chore? And you remember when your wife, when you were first married and there's a honeymoon, oh, can you get me this? Sure, darling. Yeah. Can you do this for me? Oh, yeah. You'd open the door for your wife. Not anymore. You slam it on her face. No. What's it like now? Has the honeymoon ended when it comes to our love for Christ?
Do you remember when we first got saved? We're on fire, man. Let's go win the world to Christ. Well, let's read this book. Let's just do anything we can, man. Anytime these doors were open, you were there. And I want you to remember those times. I want you to remember. I remember, you know what, sometimes, and look, I'm guilty. That sometimes the romance or the love that I have for my wife sometimes kind of fades. You know what I do? I go back and remember. I remember how it was. And I do those things again. I say, man, I want to be on fire again. I want to read His Word. I want to love His Word. I want to talk to Him. I want to serve Him. But when was the last time that we spoke to Him? Or when we speak to God, do we have a list? Just like sometimes our spouse doesn't do that, but they got a honey to-do list, right? Honey, this needs to be done. So-and-so broke his leg. Can you fix it? My car's broken. So-and-so sick. Can you take him to the hospital? Is it like that with God? Do we go to God and say, Lord, thank you for who you are. Look, someone's sick. Can you make him better? My car's broken down. Can you fix it? I've got no more money. Can I have some money? Is it like that? Or are there actual times where you're in your car or you're outside or you're at your workplace and you're just like, Lord, I just want to tell you I love you. Lord, I just want to tell you thanks. Thanks for my life. I got a good life. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Do we even nag to God sometimes? We do that with spouses, right? If it's a nag, nag to God. It's communicating with God. But when was the last time we did that? Or is it just, Lord, this is coming up. Can you bless it? Can you bless the food, Lord? Can you bless the food? Or is there meaning to our prayers? Do we talk to Christ? You know, He's a person. He's not a genie. He's not someone who just fulfills our wishes. He's a person. And He wants to talk to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Have we given Christ the silent treatment? Because we wouldn't do that with our spouses. I love my spouse. I love my wife. But how is our marriage tonight when it comes to Christ? Has it gone cold? Or do we need to revive our relationship with Christ? He's a person, and He wants to have a relationship with each and every single one of us. He just wants to talk to us. How is our marriage? Let's pray. Father, forgive us, Lord. Sometimes our Christian life can get so mechanical. We look at You just to get things. We look at You as just someone that we just live with. But we don't have a relationship with You. Father, forgive us. Lord, I pray that You would burn a desire in our heart to have a relationship with You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that tonight that You would rekindle a fire within us, that we would see You for who You are. You deserve more. You deserve more than we ever give to You or what we're giving to You right now, Lord. Lord, we may have given You the silent treatment. We haven't spoken to You in a while. We haven't shared our burdens. We haven't shared our cares. We haven't shared our lives and thanked You for the things that You've you've done and the things and just not appreciated you. We've not treated you as a spouse. Lord, we're the bride of your bride, the church. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to have a closer walk with you, a relationship with you. Help us just to get back talking with you about everything. We know life's not perfect. We know things go wrong. We know we have burdens. Lord, help us to go back to you and just share those burdens to you. Share our life with you, Lord. Help us to have that relationship, just like a relationship between spouses. Lord, help us to have that same relationship with you as a church, Lord. Tonight we're going to pray. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us just to have that knowledge of knowing that we are the bride of Christ and that you want a relationship with us, Lord. Bless each and every one of us, Lord, and as we take up some prayer requests, Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayers. But Lord, help us, Lord, if our relationship has gone cold, I pray, Lord, that we fix it as soon as possible and get right with you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.